rising at the UN.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Today, the UN Security Council is expected to nominate Ban Ki-moon to succeed Secretary General Kofi Annan. Annan's term ends in December. Rachel Dornhelm explores the high-profile job and its financial responsibilities.
If the nomination succeeds, South Korean Foreign Minister Ban Ki-moon will be in charge of a substantial pot, says the Global Policy Forum's Jim Paul.
Well, the budget that's overseen by the Secretary General is the regular budget of the United Nations, which is $1.7 billion this year.
And toss in $5 billion for peacekeeping. While that's small compared to many nations' ledgers, Brookings fellow Roberta Cohen says the U.S. has been vocal about wanting someone who will provide strong fiscal oversight. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton has supported Ban's candidacy.
Unifying principles of promoting human rights thus far don't seem to be on the platform, but management techniques do. And while that's important, it's also important for the Secretary General to be a leader.
Cohen points out the South Korean government has raised some eyebrows for its own financial management ahead of the nomination. Some generous aid packages and gifts, including a grand piano, went to some countries with votes on the Security Council. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The buzz in cyberspace over the weekend concerned rumors that Google was trying to buy YouTube. On Friday, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal reported the two were talking. The potential price tag, $1.6 billion. But so far, neither company will confirm it. For Google, it would be a case of, if you can't beat them, pay to join them. By July of this year, YouTube had 30.5 million monthly visitors to its site. That's more than three times Google Video. Business people and academics are meeting today in Panama. It's the start of an EU-Latin American energy summit. The goal is to promote new energy technologies by linking European countries with Latin American countries. Dan Gretsch has more from the America's Desk at WLRN.
Finland organized the three-day conference, the eighth of its kind. 64 companies, universities, and research institutions from Finland and Central America will discuss biofuels, wind power, and emissions trading. Peter Dene is with Lieb Capital Management in New York. He says Finland is encouraging public-private energy partnerships.
It's a sign that some of the smarter economies realize that the way we will get off oil will be alternative energies and smarter use.
Dene says the idea is to slowly wean the world economy off oil.
We're going to continue to use oil for a while. What can we do to bring the demand down as we bring in new technologies? And this is what we see with the hybrid cars now. They use gasoline, but they use less of it.
Over the next 3 years, Finland will invest $5 million to promote renewable energy partnerships. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Well, the market had a strong week, even though it petered out with a loss on Friday. The Dow fell 16 points to 11,850. The Nasdaq was off 6 points at 2299. And the S&P was down 3 points at 1349. And this is a holiday in Japan, so the Nikkei was closed. This is Marketplace. Social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook are worth billions of dollars, but who will be the dominant online player? Janet Babin reports from the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
MySpace still has the most unique visitors each month and the broadest appeal, but its popularity among high schoolers is waning. A new ComScore study finds that most MySpace visitors are now over 35. If marketers want to reach the coveted teen market, they might want to put their ads on Zanga, where 20% of users are 12 to 17. Yankee Group analyst Jennifer Simpson says social networking sites are still in transition.
I can tell you right now how big the audience is for MySpace, but in the future, it's hard to guess. We do believe that to a certain extent, MySpace and a few others are perhaps the last of their era in terms of being such a wide audience reach.
Simpson expects most of the sites will ultimately focus on smaller niche markets as competition heats up. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Organization for Rare Disorders' mission to identify, treat, and cure overlooked and undertreated health conditions. More at rarediseases.org. By Mellon Financial Corporation. Helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Ever since 9/11, the intelligence industry has felt understaffed. That's led to an employment boom in both the public and private sectors. The opportunities have been great for intelligence analysts, but there's a catch. If candidates don't have secret or top secret security clearance, employers aren't interested. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The market for intelligence professionals is tight enough to begin with.
We compete for some of the most esoteric talent in the world.
That's Ron Sanders with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He says the feds make matters worse by imposing misguided policies that force agencies to outsource.
We've had to resort to contractors because of limitations Congress has placed on the number of civilian employees we can hire.
That's good news for contractors, especially those who already have a high-level security clearance. In today's market, a secret or top-secret designation is worth money. A recent intelligence industry survey found that
candidates are earning around 23 to 24% more per year than their equivalent non-cleared counterpart.
That's Evan Lesser, founder of ClearanceJobs.com. He says even the brightest candidates are at a disadvantage if they don't already have that clearance.
A lot of companies are more willing to train a candidate that has the correct clearance but the wrong skills or inappropriate or insufficient skills than to find someone that has the correct skills and wait the 18 months to obtain a clearance for them.
Earlier this year, the number of clearance requests overwhelmed the Pentagon screening office, forcing it to suspend services briefly. And the number of new applications for top secret clearances has more than doubled in the past 2 years. According to intelligence guru and former spy Robert Steele, companies not only siphon off talent from government, they fudge their qualifications.
Contractors are being given contracts where they claim to have thousands of people with clearances and language skills that don't actually work for them. And then they turn around and they hire away government employees for their clearances, or they provide people who don't speak the language properly, all in order to make a buck. That's simply wrong.
The situation isn't that out of control, says Michigan Representative Mike Rogers, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee. He says congressional oversight keeps the intelligence agencies in check.
I think they're being fairly careful about trying to apply the right skill set with the right jobs, mainly because we've been aggressive about trying to watch them.
He's concerned about the trend in outsourcing intelligence jobs, and he recognizes the growing demand for intelligence professionals outside the government.
And you have the incredible pressure from the private sector, who is basically saying, listen, we're operating in a lot of dangerous countries. We'd like to have these people working for us so that we know our employees are safe.
All that demand is driving up salaries. A recent survey shows that pay this year for the highest level security clearance candidates rose 5%. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. For more information, check out our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
So if a personal computer...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.